opening words for this Easter Sunday are by Cliff Reid. As the true prophets of God have always told us, the divine will is for mercy and compassion, love and justice. May we never suppose that vengeance and cruelty, hatred and murder serve the divine purpose. In the spirit of human solidarity and oneness, we join in worship. I'm going to light my chalice now using some more words by Cliff Reid. Jesus told us that we are a light for all the world. As we light our chalice, let us remember that. May we be lamps shedding light among our fellows, humble vessels of divine radiance to our one world. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other, in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away, and the clouds of war and climate change overshadow us. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, that close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading today is by Andrew Hill. We look this Easter to rise above tombs of unreasonableness. From the tomb which confines God to supernatural orders, let God rise, respecting nature's universal laws. From the tomb of literalism and exclusivism and fanaticism, let rise imagination and inclusiveness and cooperation. From the tomb where we hear nothing but our own voices' echoes, let rise voices reasoning together. From the tomb which chains human minds, let rise minds which test and quest without resting. From the tomb of never-ending sorrow and despair, let rise new beginnings and new hope. From the tomb of conflict and war, let rise listening, tolerant and participatory government. From the tomb where afterlife claims all life's meaning, let rise new meanings for this life. I invite you now to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading is a beautiful poem called The Day After Good Friday by Celia Cartwright. What was it like after the death? For those who had followed, for those who had cared, for those who had been so close, for his mother, who had pondered the meaning of his life for so long. Was it what she expected? For Mary, his sister, who had loved him and followed him. For Mary of Magdala, who had loved him, cared for him, followed him well. Did the women who had bravely remained beneath the cross cling to each other? Did they lean on one another, weep together? Did they wonder what to do and where to go? Did they wonder if anyone would believe them when they told of the man they loved for those who followed after? For those left of the 12 with doubts and fears, rudderless now and shaken by guilt, what was it like for them? Did they burn with anger for the one who had told? Did they wish they had had the strength to stay? Did they retreat into themselves with wounded hearts? Did they run away in fear? Did they cling to each other in grief and loss, wondering where to go? And what did they do when the tomb was open, with no sign of their beloved? Did they believe he was come again, that he had not truly been dead? Did they understand something or nothing? Did they take to the road to leave behind the holy city, with its memories of palm leaves and death, of wine and bread and companionship? Somewhere in the thread of history, something of these close companions whispered beads onto the thread of time, and prayerful fingers held the beads, and joyful hands passed them on. And over time the beads became worn, and the pattern, once so sharp, was lost. But the beads of love were held, and then from hand to hand, through all the ages in between, they came, the remnants of their story still there, and added to and amended, to fill the space that once the pattern told, still found the hearts of those who reached to take the beads, to keep them holy and remember. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? When did the fire of revelation last burn within us? When did we last hear Jesus speak to us? Or let him? How often do we open the scriptures, or open our minds to them? Spirit of resurrection and rebirth, walk with us on life's road. Reveal to us its wonders, duties and purposes. And they told what things were done in the way, and how they knew him in the breaking of bread. We have walked with Jesus so many times, but have not known him. In many guises he has explained the truth to us. but we have been too dull to see it. May we, in loving communion and shared fellowship, know him at last in the breaking of bread. Amen. Our final reading is again by Cliff Reid. Jesus didn't want to be worshipped. He wanted to be listened to. He called men and women to follow on the path he trod, not to build shrines and idols wherever his feet fell. Jesus didn't work miracles to prove he was divine. He did works of love to show that we can do them too. Jesus didn't say, "Look at me." He said, "Look to God and help me build the kingdom in this world and in the human heart." Jesus didn't go to the cross to buy back souls with blood. He went to the cross because the path of love sometimes leads that way. And when it does, we must take it as he did. The risen Christ was neither corpse revivified nor spectral counterfeit. He is the community where compassion dwells with justice, truth, and loving fellowship. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection. So find a position in which it is comfortable for you to sit, so that you are able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and between us, across the miles and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. It was a time of failing hope, a time of betrayal, despair, and darkness at noon. A time when fear and death seemed to triumph. There have been many such times. Times when it seemed that the pale horse and its ghastly rider might drive life from the earth. Maybe we live in such a blighted time, even though we are surrounded by springtime flowers and bursting buds. There is a shadow over the world, robbing us of the season's joy, mocking its beauty. But though we must not diminish the dangers we face, let us remember that death never has the last word. The faith of Easter is that beyond darkness there is light. Beyond sorrow there is joy. Beyond death there is life. Let us ponder these things in the silence. we are called to be messengers of hope and compassion to each other, to our neighbours and to the world. When the crisis passes, may each of us be able to reflect that we didn't altogether fail the test of love, conscience and humanity. We are living through a bitter, fearful spring, but it will come to an end, and we'll see summer come again. May it be so. Amen. Let's have some music. don't know why it is, but most of the news we read in the papers or hear on the radio or see on the television or the internet seems to be bad news. Decent behaviour seems less spectacular and is less often reported. Why is that, do you think? Could it be because we instinctively expect such behaviour and therefore feel it unnecessary to call attention to it? I think that this would be the more Unitarian view of human nature, which is illustrated beautifully by Andrew Hill's plea, which I shared as our first reading, for us to rise above tombs of unreasonableness. All the readings and prayers I have chosen to share today, this Easter Sunday, ask us to rise above our petty human limitations and find a better, more inclusive, more compassionate way of living in relationship with the rest of humankind and with the blue-green planet that is our home. I love the writings of Richard Rohr, a Catholic Franciscan monk who is one of the most open-minded Christians I have ever known. He tells us, Jesus never said, worship me. He said, follow me. He asks us to imitate him in his own journey of full incarnation. To do so, he gives us the two great commandments. 1. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind and strength. And 2. Love your neighbour as yourself. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus shows us that our neighbour even includes our enemy. And Cliff Reid echoed that message in our final reading, saying, the risen Christ was neither corpse revivified nor spectral counterfeit. He is the community where compassion dwells, with justice, truth, and living fellowship. So the message, if you like, of this Easter Sunday address is for us to follow the example of Jesus, love our neighbours as ourselves, and do our best to make the world a more positive, happier place. As Celia Cartwright shared in her beautiful reflection on how the women and disciples must have felt on Easter Saturday, when the one they had loved and followed had been barbarically killed. Christians down the ages have found something in the Easter story to hold on to, some fragment of hope, passed down the ages as beads of love. And it is up to us, here, now, today, to take up those beads and be inspired by them to lead our best lives, recognizing the divine spark within our fellow human beings. I have long believed that there is a divine spark within each of us, that of God, as the Quakers would say. As I see it, our job as Unitarians, as human beings, is to be constantly aware of the divine influences around us, in the world, in our fellow human beings, and to recognize that there is that of God within everyone, and that we are all connected to each other on a very fundamental level. When we are in loving relationship with others, we can form circles of love, because being in loving relationship with others is the strongest way I know of influencing the world for good, which the world desperately needs at the moment. although our headlines are filled with news of the war in Gaza. Not so much about the Ukraine now, although the war there continues. There are many other places in the world where war and famine and hatred are spreading their toll of misery. Many other places which need our attention, our compassion, our action. We human beings are complex creatures. I think we have to accept that the polarity between what we call good and what we call evil is present in every individual, as well as in humankind generally. But that it is up to each one of us to make a conscious effort to choose the good over the evil, and to make of our lives a greater whole. This might be easier to do if we understood how our human nature works. I found Philip Hewitt's take on this in his book The Unitarian Way fascinating. He wrote, "Human nature, however varied the forms of expression it may take in different individuals, and within the same individual, is neither a constant nor an isolated phenomenon. It is not constant because it is continually changing and growing, and reflects the level in the evolutionary process that has thus far been reached. It is not isolated because human beings do not live in isolation. We are what we are as a result of continuous interaction with an environment that is not separated from our own essential nature by any impenetrable boundary. We are all of us continually being defined and redefined by the whole constellation of relationships into which we enter. The living of my life, in a spiritual sense, is a continuous process of incorporating new relationships into the ever-changing pattern which constitutes my identity. In a spiritual sense, the quality of living is enhanced by multiplication and exercise of my positive relationships to the cosmos as a whole, to the world of living things, and to other human beings." There is a lot of food for thought here. Unless we walk through life with our eyes, minds, and hearts shut, we will inevitably be influenced and changed by the actions and words of people with whom we come into contact. Whether it is a casual encounter in the street, a member of our family, or of our spiritual community. And of course, our actions and words influence everyone else. I suppose another way of putting it would be to quote John Donne's famous meditation, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee." So what should we, as Unitarians, do about this? We are all human beings, We are all members of many communities. Our families, our friends, our colleagues, our church. And we are all members of the human race. What difference can we as individuals make to those communities? We need to be aware that we are in a living relationship with the rest of the world, and that our words and actions can influence the fate of that world and its inhabitants, our fellow human beings, not to mention all the other living things. Whether our influence is for good or ill is up to us. Like I said, each of us contains that divine spark, which, if we choose to pay attention to it, can prod us into positive action, which might make that difference for good, which our world, our communities, so urgently need. I loved the conclusion of Cliff Reid's prayer, Easter 2020, which formed our time of stillness and reflection. Although at the time it was written, he was probably thinking about the then new pandemic, his words are just as apposite today, as the wars in Gaza, Ukraine, and other parts of the world rumble on, as the price of fuel doubles and more people in this country fall into poverty. Let's hear them again and take inspiration from them. The faith of Easter is that beyond darkness there is light. Beyond sorrow there is joy. Beyond death there is life. We are called to be messengers of hope and compassion to each other, to our neighbours and to the world. When the crisis passes, may each of us be able to reflect that we didn't altogether fail the test of love, conscience, and humanity. It is far from easy to pass this test of love, conscience, and humanity. But the teachings of Jesus sum up what we should do. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There are people whose lives have been shining examples of putting this golden rule, which is shared by all the major religions, into practice. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was one. Nelson Mandela was another. So was Mother Teresa. I could also mention the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. what all these people have in common is that whatever life threw at them, they somehow managed to rise above the natural human instincts for revenge and hate, and continued to live their lives in a spirit of love. It's a big wide world, and we are only little people. But we can resolve to make our little corners of the world more loving places. Let us be like Abu Ben Adam in the poem by 19th century poet Leigh Hunt, with which I will close. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace, and saw within the moonlight of his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with a look made all of sweet accord, answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is thine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, "I pray thee then, write me down as one who loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with a great wakening light, and showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. May we, as incarnations of the divine, do our best to live our lives out of a place of love rather than judgment. Some closing words. Spirit of life and love, open our hearts and minds to the message of Jesus, that the kingdom is at hand, but that it is we who must bring it from aspiration to reality, by standing up for the good and against the evil, by acting from a place of love and integrity. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other. And may we keep up our hearts now and in the days to come. Amen. We'll finish with some music.